Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, we will be doing NBA postseason awards. I'll tell you all the finalists and my predictions as well. USA Basketball, they chose their roster. We'll break that down. And I got a couple of choice words for Gayle King and Epiphany Prince. She retires from basketball. We'll talk about that too. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we're going to talk today about NBA, the postseason awards. They were just announced a few days ago. So we will go through all the finalists. And of course, you know, I got to give you my predictions. So I have that. USA Basketball's roster is out. We'll talk about that. And few other choice items on the way out. So let's get right into it, shall we? So we're going to start with the NBA postseason awards. They were announced on TNT. And we'll just go through each one, and then I'll give you my prediction. Now, clutch player of the year, I don't really delve into that. With that, really, the numbers will dictate itself, and then they'll figure out who's the rightful winner. So it's between Steph Curry of Golden State, DeMar DeRozan for Chicago Bulls, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Oklahoma City Thunder. So it'll be between those three. I'm not going to try and figure out a winner with that. But, yeah, so I'll just leave that one alone. Let us go to most improved player. Right now, you have Tyrese Maxey of the Philadelphia 76ers. For the year, he played in 70 games, guys, averaging just under 26 points per game, over 6 assists, and 3.7 rebounds, a steal per game. Shot it from the field, 45%, three-point range, 37.3, and then at the free throw line, just under 87%. And, oh, by the way, he made the All-Star team this year. So Tyrese Maxey, strong year. Next candidate, Alperen Sengun. This one surprised me, guys. For the Houston Rockets. Not because he's not deserving, but I'll give you the numbers. He played in only 63 games, guys. Over 21 points per game. Over 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and over a steal per game. Shot it from the field, 53.7%. Very good. And 69.3 from the free throw line. Oh, with Maxey also, comparing last year's numbers, he was over 5 points per game more than he had last year. And then he nearly doubled his assists average as well. And for Sengun, he scored over 6 points than what he had last year. So you see the improvement there. And then the last candidate, Kobe White of the Chicago Bulls. Played in 79 games, averaged over 19 points per game, over 5 assists, 4.5 rebounds. Shot it from the field, 44.7%, 37.6 from three, and then nearly 84% from the free throw line. So those are your candidates there. And then Kobe White, he nearly doubled his points, rebounds, and assists. That's how good a year he had for the Chicago Bulls. Now, I say about Sengun because Dante DiVincenzo for my New York Knicks, he played in 81 games, guys, and he started in 63 of them. So basically, he started as many games as Alperen Sengun. He averaged 15.5 points, and those numbers are up from last year. 3.7 rebounds, 2.7 assists, and 1.3 steals per game. Shot at 44.3% from the field, over 40% from three, guys. And, oh, by the way, he set a Knick record for three-point goals made in a season. And then 75.4% from the charity stripe. Now, they say that Dante is not eligible. And the reason why is because, and here's the rule, players must participate in 65 games. He reaches that threshold. Sengun doesn't. He only gets 63. But they have this caveat that, or at least in, you play 20 minutes in 63 games, which would put Sengun right there in the category, and two more games with 15 or more. So from what I understand, DiVincenzo missed it by 9 seconds. Are you kidding me? I mean, and that's my thing with, I'm going to set these parameters for how guys get these awards. You don't want guys, you know, missing half the season being eligible for the awards. I understand all that. I get all that. But, I mean, come on. The guy misses it by 9 seconds because of this under rule to the rule that you have in place. I don't get that. So I'll just leave it there. But I don't see how Dante DiVincenzo doesn't get recognition just because of some silly under rule to the rule you put in place. Go anyway. I'm done ranting about that. So those are your three candidates between Maxey, Sengun, and White. I'm saying Tyrese Maxey, he'll be the runaway winner of the most improved player. I know everybody's saying, oh, you said all that about Dante just to say Maxey. Hey, it is what it is. So I think Tyrese Maxey, he gets the hardware. Let's move on to Sixth Man of the Year. Out of the Sacramento Kings, Malik Monk. He appeared in 72 games, guys. Didn't start in any. He averaged over 15 points per game, over 5 assists, and nearly 3 rebounds. Shooting it from the field, also 44.3%. From 3, 35%, and nearly 83% from the free throw line for Malik Monk, who had a strong year for the Kings, and then he sustained the injury, and he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. I reported on this before, so he's probably going to miss. Oh, wait, they're not even playing anymore, so I digress. So he'll be recovering for next year. Bobby Portis, he appeared in all 82 games, guys. He only started in 4 games, nearly 14 points per game, nearly 7.5 rebounds for him from the field, nearly 51%. From 3, guys, he shot over 40% from 3. Wow. And then 79% from the free throw line for Bobby Portis, a major cog in that wheel over there for the Milwaukee Bucks. And then Naz Reid for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He appeared in 81 games, guys, and he started in just 14. So all your candidates here are worthy candidates in terms of, you know, not starting a lot of games, where you got the most is Naj Reid with the 14. 13.5 points he averaged and over 5 rebounds, 47.7% from the field, 41.4% from the three-point line, and 73.6% from the free throw line. So this one was kind of tough, but, you know, this guy's been getting shaded the past few years. I think Bobby Portis, I think he deserves to get it. I think he should get it. I understand, you know, Malik's numbers looks, like it might. I can't even say that. But Bobby Portis is so important to what Milwaukee does over there, especially in light of Giannis missing time. So you need that guy who could fill in, and Bobby Portis does just that. And he finished third last year. He was amongst the top three last year between him, Malcolm Brogdon, and Emmanuel Quickley, and he finished third there. So I think he should get it this year. He's pretty much giving you the same numbers as last year, give or take. And the role he plays for his team is so important. So I say Bobby Portis for Sixth Man of the Year. Coach of the Year. I think this one is kind of cut and dry, guys, but we'll go through it. Mark Daigneault, you know I've been singing his praises, guys. 57 wins, 25 losses. First in the West with that 33-8 record at home, 24-17 on the road, and 36 against 16 losses in the Western Conference. And remember, guys, they were a play-in team last year. They were in the 10th spot, to be honest. And now this year, they're in the number one spot. Chris Finch for the Minnesota Timberwolves finished third in the West, just a game behind the Oklahoma City Thunder with 56 wins, 30-11 at home, 26-15 on the road. And guys, they had the best conference record amongst those teams, 37-15 in conference for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Chris Finch doing a fine job over there. I thought they may tumble in the standings when Karl Anthony Towns sustained his injury and was out for a while. That didn't happen. Chris Finch kept him afloat. So I think that's probably why he gets consideration. And then remember last year he was an 8th seed. And this year he's a 3 seed. So he jumps up in the standings. And then Jamal Mosley, you know, I've been talking about him the past few weeks, the Orlando Magic coach, 47 wins, 35 losses, 5th in the East, 29-12 at home. Only the Boston Celtics had a better home record in that Eastern Conference than the Orlando Magic. So you got to give them credit there. 18-23 on the road. 32-20 in the Eastern Conference. And they went from, they were 13th last year and rose all the way up to 5th place in the East. Now, I know on my live show, I talked about Tom Thibodeau possibly getting a sniff at this, but like I said on the show, I don't see him overtaking these three candidates that I just named. Although I'll just, for the sake of discussion, I'll talk about Tom Thibodeau, although he's not a finalist. 50 wins, 32 losses for the Knicks. Second in the East, 27-14 at home, 23-18 on the road. And in that conference, 35-17, pretty good. And they rose, remember, they were 5th last year, guys, and they rose all the way to 2nd in that Eastern Conference. And, of course, remember, they lost Julius Randle right around January. and haven't had his services since. And then you had also Mitchell Robinson, who missed pretty much three quarters of the season. So he had to mix and match. Then remember, he had two trades, major trades also, that he had to work out the roster around that, acquiring OG Anunoby, as well as Bogdan Bogdanovic and Alec Burks. So he had to do all that shuffling and still managed to get the team in the second spot in the East. A fine job any other year, but when you got candidates like these, it was a tough year when it comes to the coaches of the year. A lot of worthy candidates, guys. But I think they got the three right. And I think Mark Daigneault walks away with this award for coach of the year. I think that. So let us move on to rookie of the year. And just like coach of the year, I will go through it, but I think everybody knows who the winner will be. Chet Holmgren of the Oklahoma City Thunder played in all 82 games, 16.5 points per game, close to 8 rebounds, 2.4 assists, over 2 blocks per game, 2.3 to be exact. Efficient from the field, 53%. 37% from three, you'll take that. And 79.3% from the three throw line for Chet Holmgren, part of that nucleus over there with the whole Oklahoma City Thunder. Brandon Miller, who came on late, guys, but he had a solid year nonetheless. 74 games he appeared in, 17.3 points per game, 4.3 rebounds, and 2.4 assists for him, shooting at 44% from the field, 37.3% from three-point range, and 82.7% from the free throw line. So Brandon Miller, a important part of what Charlotte's going to do going forward. We'll see what happens with them. I suspect some change going on there personnel-wise, but Brandon Miller will be a solid piece over there. And then, of course, Victor Wembanyama, 71 games. I mentioned this. I applaud Greg Popovich for not shutting him down. He allowed him to play a good chunk of the season, so kudos to Greg Popovich for not shutting this kid down. 21.4 points per game, 10.6 rebounds, and oh, by the way, he led the league in blocks, 3.6 blocks per game, and then nearly a 4 assists and over a steal per game for Wembanyama. 46.5% from the field, 32.5% from three. You would like to see better numbers in that regard, and then 79.6 from the free throw line. Guys, Wemby will be the runaway rookie of the year. I don't think I'm breaking any secrets here, but Victor Wembanyama will secure rookie of the year. Defensive player of the year, guys. And let me say, Wemby is a part of this as well. Let me give you his defensive numbers. 8.4 defensive rebounds. And you heard me say that he led the league in blocks with 3.6 and over a steal per game. And then if you want to go into the analytics and those kind of numbers, he was second in defensive rating, fifth in defensive win shares, and second in defensive box plus and minus. Don't even ask me what that means, but but that's his numbers in that regard. Bam Adebayo for the Miami Heat. Over eight defensive rebounds for him. Over a steal per game. He didn't come to a block per game, actually, guys. He was eighth in defensive rating, 7th in defensive win shares and 16th in defensive box plus and minus. And then Rudy Gobert of the Minnesota Timberwolves, team that was one of the top defensive teams in the league. 9.2 defensive rebounds for him and over 2 blocks. He's first in defensive rating and he's first in defensive win shares and just 17th in defensive box plus and minus. So, and then also, before I even name that, who I think will be the winner, Anthony Davis chimed in on this and says, basically, how come I'm not being considered? So, with him saying that, let's run through his numbers. 9.5 defensive rebounds for AD. 2.3 blocks for him. And over a steal per game, 1.2 to be exact. Just as Wembanyama. He was 18th in defensive rating, but 4th in defensive win shares. And then 14th in that other one, defensive box plus and minus. So, I mean, he has kind of a case there. I guess if I had to take somebody out of this top three, it'd probably be Bam Adebayo and say Anthony Davis in this place. But I think when all is said and done, I think Rudy Gobert gets it. I think because of those, the fact that his team, you know, is amongst the top defensive teams, and then those numbers that the eggheads like to see, defensive rating and defensive win shares, he's topping both. So I think it'll be Rudy Gobert getting the defensive player of the year. And then that leads us to the creme de la creme, the MVP award. I'm not even going to bring up Jalen Brunson. I know a lot of people want him to be amongst these top three. And even as a Knicks fan, I got to say, it's hard to squeeze out any of these three guys. So here they are. Luka Doncic, 70 games he played in, nearly 34 points per game, leading the league, 9.8 assists, 9.2 rebounds, and 1.4 steals for him. 48.7% from the field, 38.2 from three, and then 78.6 from the free throw line. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for the Oklahoma City Thunder, having a fine year. 75 games he played in, over 30 points per game, 6.2 assists, 5.5 rebounds, and 2 steals per game. He didn't get the per game steals title, but he did have the most total steals in the league. So take with that what you will. He shot at 53.5% from the field, guys. And they were saying that in his last two seasons, only him and Michael Jordan had over 30 points per game and over 50% from the field back-to-back. Wow. That's the kind of numbers that SGA put up, guys. Phenomenal. 35.3% from three and then 87.4% from the free throw line. So he's pretty much automatic there. And then Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets, somebody you could plug into your final three every single year based on his numbers. 79 games he played in, 26.4 points per game, 12.4 rebounds, and 9 assists for the Joker. Shooting at 58.3% from the field, nearly 36% from three, and then 81.7 from the free throw line. So with that said, I think it should go to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The fact that he's the unquestioned leader of that ball club and what he's done this year, and then the kind of company he's keeping with the type of year he had. You're talking about keeping company with the likes of a Michael Jordan. When you start talking that, how can you not consider the guy? I understand. I get it. Jokic, you can always plug him in because he flirts with a triple-double average each year. Luka, he flirted with one as well. But you're talking about the top player for the top team in the West. How can you not say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should get this award? So guys, that is your postseason awards. Now let us talk USA basketball. The roster is out, and it looks like this. You have LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, Anthony Edwards, and Tyrese Haliburton. And those last two were holdovers from the last team that played just recently in the World Cup. So that is your 12 guys, coached by Steve Kerr. I know I advocated for somebody else to coach this team, but it is what it is. We'll see what he does with this roster here. My fear is that you got guys on here like a Embiid, who, oh, by the way, we just, well, kind of break a little news here, but he's been laboring in the playoffs, so will he be ready to play for USA basketball this summer? I don't know if I see that. And then Kawhi Leonard, who, again, I'm breaking protocol, has yet to play in the playoffs so far. So those are two guys already that's kind of questionable. But according to Grant Hill, the man behind picking this roster, he said, we have reinforcements just in case those guys can't, you know, be available for USA basketball. So they seem to have some guys in reserve. We'll see. Snubbed, I thought, was Kyrie Irving, who I think had a fine season this season. And I think you could have very well easily slotted him into this roster. You know, people say, oh, he didn't get in because of his antics off the court. I got to say this because, you know, I've been a guy who kind of took Kyrie to task during his time with the Nets. He's been a model citizen in Dallas, so I cannot say an ill word about how he's carried himself in Dallas. So with that said, sure, he should have got on this roster, if that's the case. But, you know, the politics of things and all that stuff. Jalen Brunson, you could have made a case for him making this roster. The fantastic season that he's having and has had last year, and then the phenomenal season this season. So you can make a case for him. Paolo Banchero, I think you could make a case for him making this roster. I know he was on the World Cup team, but I think he's got a guy who you could have brought over for this one. So I would definitely consider him over Kawhi because I know of Kawhi's injury history. So, you know, if you needed a forward, voila, there you go, Paolo Banchero. So that's all I'll say to that. But that's your roster, guys. So they're going to Paris, trying to bring home that gold. We'll see what happens with that squad. All right, guys. So that is it for that. Just a few quickies, then we're done. Epiphany Prince of the WNBA, she retires. She made her announcement on Instagram, guys. Now, this is a player, 5'9 guard, coming out of Rutgers. And oh, by the way, in high school, she dropped 113 points in a game for Murray Bertram, in fact, in New York City. So that's the type of player she was. She went to Rutgers and she actually made it to the NCAA championship in her freshman season, her running the show for Vivian Stringer's Rutgers Scarlet Knights. So, and then also she left after three seasons, guys. So she didn't complete the full four. She left after three seasons to play overseas. And then she would eventually get her diploma. But yeah, so she went over to Russia to play over there. She's played in the WNBA 14 seasons, guys, playing with the likes of Chicago Sky, Las Vegas Aces, the Seattle Storm, and with the New York Liberty. And she was drafted in the 2010 draft. She was the fourth pick overall in that first round. She played overseas, like I said, in Russia and Turkey. She actually became a Russian citizen in 2010. So she kind of has like that little dual citizen situation going on there. But Epiphany Prince. And oh, by the way, during her 14 seasons, she did win a WNBA title in 2020, I believe, with the Seattle Storm. So Epiphany Prince, we wish you all well as you depart from the game. And of course, you know, an opportunity like this, you know, a lot of people say, oh, these veterans try and hang on. She's seen her time in the W. She says, that's it for me. So this opens up for a young player to come in. So you always like to see that. So Epiphany Prince, we wish you well in your future endeavors. And then let me just finish with shame on you, Gail King. Shame on you. You interviewed the great Dawn Staley after her getting her third championship in the NCAA women's game, college, of course. And then you go and embarrass yourself by asking her that, how were you able to manage when everybody was rooting against you? And she did like a we were rooting against you. And we were rooting for Iowa and Caitlin Clark. And it's like, come on, Gail. You got to have some decorum to you. How can you ask that woman that? Here she is coming on your program to extol the honors and that she's been bestowed upon by winning the championship against all odds, because, oh, by the way, she lost five of her starters from last year, had to retool. She did that, went undefeated, and she makes it to the end to win it all. And then you go and ask her and deflect what they've done, what that program did, and you talk about everybody rooting for Iowa and Caitlin Clark. Out of line. Absolutely out of line. And Steve Jackson, of course, of all that's All the Smoke podcast, he had to blast her. And I stand in lockstep with Steven Jackson. That was a trash move. You should know better, Gail, but we know the deal with that, so we'll leave that alone. But anyway, shame on you, Gail. You shouldn't have did that. All right, guys, so that's it for me. I'm going to wrap it up there before I go any further. But thank you for listening, guys. As always, much appreciated. AllThingsBasketballGD.com. That's the website. And then, of course, I'm on YouTube, All Things Basketball GD. That's where you find me there. And then, of course, on all the podcast platforms, Apple, I always got to mention Apple. I'm there. You can like the video. You can make comments, reviews, so forth. You can like it on YouTube and make comments, review it on Apple and everywhere else. And and of course, I'm on the socials, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I make my little short videos there, and Twitter. You know the deal. Twitter can go anyway. All right. So that's it for me. I thank you for listening. As always, support this program as well, guys. I have a number of ways to do that on the website, from Buy Me a Coffee to my Spotify support button and my PayPal buttons on there as well. So you can support it that way. Cash App, GD That Sports Dude, $ GD That Sports Dude. And that's how you support this show. All right, guys. So thank you for listening as always, and we'll talk soon. Take care.